turn this morning to John chapter 1. Pardon me, 1 John chapter 1. It makes a big difference. I couldn't decide what section of this chapter to read, so I'm just going to read it all. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear. I want you to pay attention to what he's saying. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you today humbly, and I ask that you would help me to share your word with your people. I pray, Father, you'd give them open hearts and open eyes. I pray, Father, you'd give them ears to hear, eyes to see. Father, I pray that offense wouldn't come, but, Father, rather direction would come to them. To each of us. We love you, Father, and I declare we are a people who love the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been a little melancholy, I guess, the last couple of days. My heart's been really heavy about the things I want to share with you. What I want to share with you, what I want to talk about this morning, is the confession of sin, the offering and receiving forgiveness. I feel like for the body of Christ, this is a word that's happening right now. It's for the whole church. The hour is coming where we must learn to operate not only in confession of our sin, but also in receiving forgiveness. Sometimes we wrong other people. Sometimes they wrong us. You have to be willing to forgive, and you have to be willing to receive forgiveness. These aren't simple things. And the problem that we have, see, this is a discipline, right? Forgiveness, confession of sin. This is a basic Christian discipline, like fasting or praying or silence or any of the disciplines. The problem is it's not a feel-good, comfortable message, and so it just isn't preached a lot anymore. People want to feel good when they go home. They don't want to feel like they need to repent or maybe they need to forgive. The church likes happy messages, but nonetheless, you're going to have to learn how to ask and how to receive forgiveness. If you don't, all I can tell you is you will stay where you are with the Lord, right? You won't go to the next place with Him. It's important that we learn these things. Otherwise, you just stay going around the mountain. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, taught this: if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You should take some time and read that. I am not taking that out of context. That's pretty blunt. It's pretty bold. And it should catch your attention. If you are unwilling to forgive other people their sins, why would you expect yours to be forgiven? Well, Pastor, but it says, I know what it says. I know what this says too. And Scripture must harmonize. You don't get to pick and choose the passages you like and ignore all the others. All Scripture harmonizes. Your sin is forgiven if you come to God and ask Him for that forgiveness. The expectation is that you too will offer the same forgiveness in the same way you received forgiveness. Just one chapter over, Jesus says this, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Can I just make a suggestion? Use a small measure. Right? Don't get a shovel, get a teaspoon. If you are going to move forward in the things of God, if we as a church are going to move forward in the things that God has for us, if this is going to happen, we need to be ready not only to forgive others, but to receive forgiveness from them. And here's the hard part, guys. That means you have to embrace the fact that you're not perfect. Surprise! You have to embrace the fact that you have failed, or you will fail if you haven't. At some point, we all fail. I don't know. Maybe nobody's explained that to you. At some point, you're going to fail. And sometimes in the process of that failure, you hurt people. Sometimes in the process of that failure, they hurt you. It happens. We just read in 1 John, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him, that's God, out to be a liar. And His Word is not in us. Those aren't simple words. But He also said this. He said, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and justified before all of heaven and hell. He's just in forgiving our sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So, if you're going to move forward with God, you will need to learn how to confess your sin. It's appropriate. Now, you need to understand there's two kinds of confession of sin. There are sins that I commit toward God. There are sins I commit toward a brother or a sister. And they're handled slightly differently. See, when I sin against God, I go to God and I confess my sin. 1 John 1:9, that's what we just read. And He's faithful and just to forgive me. But there is also a sin that I commit against a brother or a sister. Okay, now we're talking about a confession I need to make to them. I need to go to them and say, I hurt you and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The second kind of confession you will find in James chapter 5. So the first one we saw in 1 John, confessing our sin to God. The second one we find in James 5:13. James writes, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. Now listen, if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Sometimes my sin is against God, and sometimes my sin is against men. And so when I sin against a person, when I hurt them, I am obligated to go to that person and confess my sin against them. I ask them for forgiveness. And they then, as I ask for forgiveness, the hope is that they'll forgive me. In the same way Christ forgave them. What's happening now is we are restoring the relationship that's been damaged. You see what I'm talking about? See, if I hurt you, sometimes I hurt people on purpose because I'm mad or I'm angry or I'm hurt. But God speaks to me and I go to them and I ask their forgiveness. But see, the problem is I've hurt them very deeply too. And they don't want to forgive. Both sides of the coin you must be willing to accept and receive. You must be willing to forgive, and you must be willing to ask for forgiveness. It is in this way, as we restore the relationship. See, when I repent before you and you receive my repentance and you say it's okay, our relationship is restored. And we outwit the enemy in this way. And yet, if you won't repent, or if someone comes to you and repents and you won't forgive, the enemy outwits you. The Hawaiians have a word for this balance that's found in asking forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. It's called Ho'oponopono. And it means to set things right. Just to set things right. I like that. Seeking forgiveness, offering forgiveness, so that we then can walk together again. See, what happens, and sadly it happens in the church almost more than it happens in the world. We hurt each other, and we destroy each other, and we never restore the relationship. I need to be right. You have to conform to my will. It's not how this works. Now, Hawaiian is a really wonderful language, like many languages. It has all these wonderful little hidden things in it. There's deep spiritual truths in the Hawaiian language. Most of you are all aware of aloha. It's two words put together. Alo means the front or to face. And ha means the breath of life. So, it's a typical greeting. People say aloha all the time. But I think it's lost on most outsiders. They don't understand what's being said. See, when Hawaiians come together and say aloha, they'll often touch foreheads. And they'll recognize the breath of life. Now, I need to be careful, because I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not heading down Gnostic paths. Okay? I'm not trying to tell you that the Hawaiian culture or their traditions are in any fashion Christian. They're not. They're largely tied up in Gnostic beliefs. And if you don't know what Gnostic beliefs are, they're beliefs that often look very much like Christian beliefs, but they just aren't. They look for knowledge. That's what Gnostic means. Nonetheless, there is a spiritual truth in aloha when two people come together. There's a spiritual truth in Ho'oponopono when we ask and receive forgiveness. The reason I want to bring their culture up this morning is because I think the church could learn a lot from that. I think they have something that we have largely lost. See, in the church, we don't ask for forgiveness anymore. We expect you're a brother in Christ, you have to forgive me. Well, technically, yes. But that doesn't excuse your rude behavior either. See, in our culture, in the American culture, we have forgotten how to offer and to receive forgiveness. We've forgotten how to repent to one another. In general, the nature of the American is to deflect blame. It belongs on my shoulders, but I push it off on them. Well, I acted the way I did because they acted the way they did. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's not really my fault. It's their fault. So I'm good. Ho'oponopono means to set things right, to restore the relationship that has been damaged. That can only happen If you ask for forgiveness, and you will offer forgiveness. Now, I want to show you the first clip here. This is how you see forgiveness being offered in the church today. Now, forgive me. The language is a little bit coarse, and it's coarser than I would like to have in church. If you can move past that, I want you to see, because I think, in general, you'll recognize it. I want you to listen as mom tells her kids, Ho'oponopono. What she's saying is, kids, make it right. And also, just for reference, the boy's name is Lonnie. And so, it's not a word, it's his name. Go ahead and play that clip.
What's that?
Huh, the second sign we're in hell. First being no Wi-Fi.
Mom, how am I going to know what I'm missing at camp now?
Oh, Dad.
Hey!
What are you doing?
Yoane, please don't kill your sister.
Ow! You just nearly tore off my nip!
That's what you get for being a salty bunghole.
Okay, that's enough, you two. Ho'oponopono.
Me? Yeah, I didn't do it! I was sitting on her! Now she's gonna rip my nip off!
Ho'oponopono! Yoane, you first.
I'm sorry that you're just so annoying.
I'm sorry your boy udders are so massive.
Forgive me for breaking your geo-crap stick mirror on purpose.
Forgive me for rubbing my butt on your pillow and giving you pink eye.
Thank you for giving me a great reason to burn all
you
of your...
You want it! Dad!
I hate you!
Okay, you laughed, but that's just exactly how we are, isn't it? It's from the movie Finding Ohana. Mom asks the children to reconcile and restore. And so they do. I'm sorry you're so fat. I'm sorry you're so ugly. You ever notice how these are the apologies you find in the church? I'm sorry, brother, that you created such a mess between us. I'm sorry, sister, that you don't know God as well as I do. I'm sorry, brother, that you're so slow to respond to God when He speaks to you. Guys, these aren't apologies. They're blame. They're digs. It's what children do. It's not what adults do. Now, I want to look at another clip from the same movie, and I want you to see what Ho'oponopono really looks like. This is what genuine forgiveness, what setting things right looks like in practice. Go ahead and play the clip. This is her father.
Ikalamayo. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for making you feel unwanted and a burden.
Hey,
Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono. How can I teach you kids aloha if I don't have my relationship with you right first? Like Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry I blame you for my loneliness.
Ikalamayao, for leaving you and for staying away for so long.
I had to stay on the aina because my kuleana was there, but I should have been there for you.
Ikalamayao. For causing you so much pain. Because I was running away from my own pain.
Mahalo nui. For coming to take care of me. When I told you not to come.
Mahalo iko aloha anamai. Even after I hurt you so deeply.
I love you.
Nui ke aloha papa.
That's aloha. I don't know. Did you see how they shared their perspective? They weren't justifying their position, simply recognizing it. They weren't deflecting blame, they were receiving it. I failed. I'm sorry. See, sometimes we have to acknowledge the things, the reasons why. I hurt you because I was angry. Didn't mean to, but I did. And then they come together, face to face. Aloha. We read Matthew chapter 7 just a minute ago. Verses 1 through 2. I want to pick up in verse 3. Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." The picture type that's here, of course, is just one person has a tiny speck in their eye, and the other person has a lot of specks in their eye, so much they could actually make a board. Do you get the picture type that he's saying? This is the part of the service where people get mad at me. "I don't know why you're preaching about me today. I don't know why you're airing my dirty laundry today." I assure you, just about everyone in the room is thinking the same thing, including myself. See, friends, there is a very real danger when you won't forgive. It's a genuinely serious danger. To the extent you can forgive, you will be forgiven. And with the measure you used, it is going to be measured back to you. It's important as you walk with God that you learn to be quick to confess your sin before Him. When you sin against Him, you need to be quick to confess that sin. And He's faithful and just, and He will forgive. And if you come to Him and you're holding on to something, you've got something against a brother or a sister, you need to leave that at the offering. Just leave it there. Go be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Not because they deserve it, because you deserve it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Free yourself from the poison that means is you need to forgive. Maybe you come to God and you recognize that your brother or sister holds something against you. You've sinned. And leave your offering. And go be reconciled to them. Apologize. Ask forgiveness. This is the hard part. Sometimes I'm very angry. I've been hurt deeply. And I need to apologize. Sometimes they've hurt me, and I need to say, "I forgive you," when the truth is in my heart, I'm not sure I do yet. Not yet. I have to build something up. I have to set the forms, though. Christ forgave those who nailed Him to a cross. I don't know if you understand the depth of that truth. If He hadn't forgiven them, they would have been lost forever. Others might have come, but they wouldn't have. This is where we have to move beyond lip service. We have to ho'oponopono. We have to set things right. Not just say, "I'm sorry," but mean, "I'm sorry. And if I can't be there yet, what I can do is continue to forgive every time it comes up. I forgive." Guys, I'm telling you, The way the kids apologize to each other, it doesn't work. I'm sorry, you're too stupid. I was just joking with you when I called you that. Sorry, you can't catch those things. That's deflection. That's not accepting the burden. It's not accepting the mistake. Now, last week I told you that we are in a season of the boomerang. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that what's happening right now, we are going to see the weapons that are in the hands of those who are against us be turned back on them. They will boomerang back on them. God is going to do that because God is just. But God, you know, He can handle more than one season at a time. And as He's working on other people and sorting them out, He's also, I believe, working on us. I believe we're also in a season of Elijah. If you don't know what that is, it's a season where the hearts of parents are returned to their children and the children are returned to their parents. It's a season when the disobedient are turned back toward wisdom and righteousness. I think we're seeing these seasons happen together. If you recall, when Jesus came the first time, John the Baptist preceded Him. The word from the prophet Elijah was that if the spirit of Elijah didn't come before God came, the land would be struck with a curse. See, Elijah comes and He restores all things. We need to be ready to let the Spirit of God restore all things. If you've wronged somebody, Ho'oponopono, make it right. Sometimes I actually can make it right. Sometimes I steal from people. Well, I can repay. Sometimes I can't make it right. I said things that I cannot take back. I can say I take them back, but I can't take them back. I can go to them and I can ask their forgiveness. If someone has wronged you, you must learn to forgive freely as Christ forgave you. See, I don't want Him holding anything that I've done against me because I know who I am. I know what I've done. Jesus forgave me freely. Forgave His executioners freely. And you know what? They never even had to ask. Because He knew the weight that it would bring. I want to close with Acts chapter 7, and I want to give you something to consider. I'm not going to answer it because I don't know the answer to it. It's a question. In Acts chapter 7, they will stone the apostle Stephen. We know he's an apostle because it says he was doing signs and wonders for following. And in this chapter, you're going to find a young man named Saul. And as those go to stone Stephen, they will lay their cloaks at the feet of Saul. Verse 59 of chapter 7. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Here's the question. I can't tell you. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But what might have become of Saul if Stephen had not forgiven him? Would he have become Paul? I don't know. I really don't know. God knows all things. What I want you to see this morning is to offer forgiveness. It's critical. It's critical to learn to seek forgiveness, not just in word, but in your heart. It's critical. The desire within you should be to set things right. That's Ho'oponopono, to set it right. husbands and wives, sometimes we get angry with each other. I dig my heels in and I'm not bending. She's crazy and wrong. Never considering that I too am crazy and often wrong. We fight battles that are foolish to even wage. Paul said this. He said, why not rather be wrong? Why not rather just say, knowing you're right, just say, I'm wrong, and let them win? Why not? Friends, this is what Ho'oponopono is about. It's about setting things right. I want to encourage you today. If there's people in your life that you're holding things again, Ho'oponopono. It's time to let go. And if there's people you have wronged, you have hurt, Ho'oponopono. Set it right. It's in your hands. Set it right. This is what I wish to encourage you with today. Set it right. Father, help us. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd remember we are just men. We are dust. We are bound and ruled by emotions that make no sense. We fight battles that are foolish. We hurt people when we have no reason to or call to. Lord, I pray that you would help us to think like Christ, to be more like Christ. I pray, Father, you would help us to walk effectively in the discipline of confessing our sin and in the discipline of offering forgiveness to those who have sinned against us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Father, now I pray for my friends who are deeply wounded. Father, I pray that you would strengthen their hearts. I pray, Father, that you would heal the wounds that are within them. And I pray, Father, you would help them to seek and receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen.